morning.
Good morning. Oh, now it's recording. So good morning, everyone. And if everyone who is here would do our morning wave and say hi to everyone who's on the Facebook. And I did find out that we have at least one person who's been watching through YouTube streaming live. And I have it set up that if Fuzzy Kitten Paws puts up a comment, I should be able to see it. We'll see. I'm not exactly sure, but anyhow, welcome, and and hello to my friend Patricia. You know I'm a little sad, and you know why, because Patricia often wears she's worn her bathrobe to services, and I've thought that was just great. And good morning, Betsy and Rags and Ruth and Rita and everyone else who, and Janice and Lee. Hi, Lee.
Yo.
Would you change your name so we know who you are?
Uh-oh, what does it say?
It says Dallaire Institute.
Oh, bloody hell.
Okay. do you want us to change it for you?
I had to wrap a present for my brother and nieces in Taiwan. We give them advent calendars every year because they can't get them over there.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Oh, I don't know. I want the chocolate myself. It's Lindt chocolate, so it's real good.
Nice. Wonderful.
Well, bye too.
Welcome, everybody. This is, let me get my, I do this
All
every.
Happy birthday.
Whose birthday is it today?
Alma Lewis.
Oh, happy birthday, Alma. Let me just write this out so I feel like I've gotten it done. This is the Saturday service. Today is the 14th of March, 2000.
No, I think November.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
We'll be right back. It's a Saturday service. It is the 14th day of November in the year 2020. We are about 260 days into COVID, and we are losing our minds. So, welcome, everybody. Glad you guys are all here. Oh, my goodness. Wrong button. It's a great, great day. All right, let's get this thing going. First, let me start with some announcements. Welcome to everyone who's here. I'm glad to see all of these faces, people who I didn't mention by name. I welcome you. Glad you guys are all here as well. When we started doing this, I used to have to remind people how to use Zoom. Anyone, it's their first time on Zoom today? Maybe it's the first time today, but it's not your first time on Zoom. So I'm glad. Welcome to everybody. This is new, but I like starting this at the very start of the service, getting this out of the way. Religion Outside the Box puts this service on, and there are three different ways you can help out. One, you can bring your friends to services, send them the newsletter so that you spread the word. Two, you can make a donation to Religion Outside the Box, and Alex puts that up in the chat, a donation link. And three, you can make a purchase at the Rabbi Brian Etsy shop. Fantastic. Now we have all that out. Some announcements. First some thanks. I want to thank Alex, who's always doing all the tech stuff behind me. So thank you so much, Alex. Joe, where's Joe? Hi, Joe. Joe, we have just her chair is there right now. There's Joe. Hi, Joe. Joe, who moderates the chat, so thank you so much for doing that. Thank you to Lee. Lee is new in our thank you list, but very, very important. Lee is scribing so that when you look, if you ever want to go to the YouTube, and Alex, if you could put that link up to the past, all the Saturday services are recorded, and Lee is keeping track of what we talk about when. So that that's easily seen. Also, thank you to anyone who's new, who's here, and also thank you to anyone who's returning. Glad to see all of you here. Okay, I'm following my notes here. I'm going to take a breath of air because I need one. recommend if you think you could use a breath of air, please do that. Throughout the service, should it seem something you want to do, I suggest you breathe throughout the entire service. Good. Last week, we all had quite an amazing exhale at services. We all were in small groups, and we found out that the election had been called, and that was quite an amazing thing, and I'm sure that was only a week ago. Show of hands, how many people feel like that was an actual 7-day calendar a week ago, and how many of you feel like that was a long time ago, 1 week?
Long. I vote long.
It was a long week, wasn't it? It's been a crazy time. Crazy time. I have a quote I want to start us off with this morning. Here it comes. Alex, if you put the quote up in the chat. People always like that. Here's a quote. It's from, I don't know how to say his name. Anyone got how to get this guy's name? I know he was a Greek.
Epictetus.
Say it again, Carol.
Epictetus.
Epictetus. And he was a Greek slave, and he said the following. What upsets people is not things themselves, but their judgment about the things. So when we are thwarted or upset or distressed, let us never blame someone else, but rather ourselves, that is, our judgments. Ugh. I'm going to read that again. What upsets people is not things themselves, but their judgments about the things. So when we are thwarted or upset or distressed, let us never blame someone else, but rather ourselves, that is, our judgment. What do we think about that, guys?
Good one. I think that's a judgment.
Thank you, Rob. What upsets us is not the things themselves, but our judgment about the things. So we shouldn't get upset at the things or at other people, but rather at ourselves for our judgment. Ugh. Gross.
That goes with what we're always told about, you can't, there's nothing you can control except your own reaction.
Yeah. Say that again, Rags. Yeah.
There's nothing outside yourself that you can control. All you can control is your own reaction.
So
I'm not sure I think that's true, but it's something we're always told.
Yeah. So thank you for adding that part in. So I get what they're getting. I get what we're getting at here in this quote. I understand the idea that all of this is happening up in here, and all the judgment and all of my anger and all of my disappointment and all my frustration.
That is.
Yeah, is up in my head.
No, that doesn't mean that you can just zip by it, though. It's there.
Ah.
You don't have to dwell on it, but I think you do have to acknowledge that it's there somehow and then decide what you're going to do with it and move past it. You just can't go, I'm just not going to be normal and judge anymore.
Right. All right. I think you got a great point there, Joe. So we can agree with the quote without it meaning that we have to live by it.
Yes.
Yeah. When we see evil, we need to call it out.
Say that again, Priscilla.
When we see evil, we need to call it out.
When we see evil, we need to call it out. But here we're saying, so when we're thwarted or upset or distressed, let us not blame someone else. All right, so I'm thwarted, upset, and distressed by 48% of my country right now. I feel distressed by them.
Rabbi, Joy. I took a yoga class last week, and one of her points was that we are using energy in our reactions, which is true. So her question to us was, is that the way you want to use your energy? Mm-hmm. As being pissed at whatever it is we're pissed at, 48% of the people, or can you think of another way to use your energy that would do something better with the problem or whatever? And over the past week, in a couple of instances, I've been able to switch being in a snit about something to being able to think about what else can be done, what can I do about it, and that kind of thing. And I think that quote leads right into it.
Anyone else have some positive experience with being able to do this mental gymnastics and to switch and say, you know what, I'm not going to let that thing bother me so much?
It's not that it doesn't bother you so much.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Meg.
It's that you use the energy that you're using to be bothered to do
something. Right. So how do you get yourself out of, I'm spending energy on this. How do we undo that? Amy, what do you have?
Okay, when that's happened for me, it's a matter of first acknowledging that you're pissed, acknowledging what's upsetting you, then take a deep breath and acknowledge that it is beyond your control. So once you say, you acknowledge to yourself, okay, yes, I'm angry, but what I'm angry at is beyond my control, you're letting it out, and then it no longer consumes you. And I have to say, Rabbi, I've gotten that from some of your Saturday services and other things.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Because you've been saying that.
Good. So letting go, other people with their responses to this, that the things that upset us, yes, they're outside of us, but at a certain point we can, you know, move it along. Bob?
Maybe there's a sense of disappointment that can come into factor here.
How's that work?
Disappointed about something.
That I'm disappointed by something and that's just up in my head and I gotta let that go?
Well, once I'm disappointed about something, then I have to figure out what to do with that.
Mm.
So in other words, that if there's something that's within my what I call circle of influence,
right,
that then I can take action to do whatever is within my control.
Right.
If it's outside of my circle of influence, then I can be disappointed about it without letting it grab me.
And just a question, and we'll come back to this later. Show of hands, how many of you think you have full control over what's going up in your noggin? Okay, I'm going to take from the laughter right there that we don't think that is totally... How many of us think we do not have any control over what's going on up in our noggin? So we're going to be in between. Like, I knew that. Okay, we're going to be somewhere in between.
Yeah, Rabbi Brian.
Yeah, Rita.
It's
Barb.
Just adding to...
And then Barb. Sorry, go ahead, Rita.
Me? Okay. Well, when I think of myself, say the last week or the 4 years before that, those things that I cannot control, what I try to do is take a deep breath, let it go, and change the channel.
Change your channel?
No, that was the TV I was thinking of right then.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. I thought you meant just like, okay, now I'm going to start thinking about puppies.
No, it's normally something on the TV that gets me really upset. And we all know what that is anyway. But
yeah.
If I can't, the things I can do is try to connect with others on a positive way and stop looking at what that man is doing.
Yeah.
Because I can't control him. I voted, which I knew was the only thing I could do. I suspect you all know what I'm talking about there.
I think we have some clue. We've all been in the same fishbowl. Barb, you were saying something. I apologize. I lost you.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I'm trying to put it together.
Ain't we all?
Really. One of the things that we experience when we want to judge is a mirror effect, that what we're judging in somebody else is a reflection back to something going on inside of ourselves. Right. And so that makes a dilemma, because what do we do with that?
It is a lot more fun to judge other people and to say they and to do that outwardly than to look at that within.
well, it's not more fun, it might be harder. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And the very idea that we don't want to become the thing that we're judging. And I think that's very tricky.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to share a quote. I wasn't planning on sharing this one right now, but this is the one I need to share. There's this quote, and it goes right to judging other people. It's a quote from Robert Schuller. And he said, hold on, because you're really not going to like this.
That's what he said?
Yes, that was it. What do you think? No, he said, moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo. I'm going to say that again. Moral indignation. Those damn children are out at the basketball court and they're not wearing masks. Moral indignation. They're blah, blah, blah. Is often jealousy with a halo. If I really think about it, I wish I could not give a crap as much as those kids don't. Mm-hmm. I'm really just jealous. Give me another example of that. Moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo. Okay, Barb, does it fits in with what you were saying?
I'm thinking of an example.
Yeah.
Brian, can I come back to your other quote?
Yeah, go ahead, Kip.
So when I hear that quote, that's something that I think I do take very seriously to heart, because really your emotional responses are transitory. Your physiology responds emotionally in a very short amount of time, and you can't sustain it. If you don't feed that fire, if you don't keep thinking about it, your emotional response settles back to a neutral state, just from a physiological basis.
So Kip, are you saying that we are causing our own problems?
I am. I'm saying, by and large, we're causing our own pain and judgment and discomfort about it.
Yeah.
By recycling it and chewing on that gristle again and again, instead of reacting to it and then making a decision about how you want to move forward in the world with that. Are you going to go out and protest? Are you going to vote differently? And then set it down because you know you've done what you've done and what you've got to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I think that's our goal.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Jonathan here. How are you?
Hi, John Lax.
Yeah, I think this makes really good sense, the quote. The problem I have with it is it invites judging ourselves for having a reaction to something that objectively our reaction may be totally appropriate.
Okay.
We may be upset about something upsetting, but this quote seems to invite us to judge ourselves for being upset.
Okay, so let's write ourselves a caveat to that. Can you give us some good lawyer speak on how we're allowed to be judgmental, but as long as we don't hold on to it, we're okay?
Not on a Saturday morning, but...
you just said it.
I just think it's important to recognize that it's okay to judge objectively bad things as bad, and they can be upsetting to us because we're not bad people.
So I love that. Thank you, John. I'm going to... gosh, you know, it really doesn't matter how much I prepare because it goes how it goes. I used to, in my classrooms, always have these two letters on the wall. And I just left them up on either side of the whiteboard. There was a D and a J. And often they were in pictures and they were a little person with a J on them and a person with a D on them. And eventually a kid would say, "What the heck are those?" And I would say, well, they're two separate things.
Yeah.
There's discernment and there's judgment.
Okay.
And they're separate. There's discernment. I see this. I smell this. These are your senses. Judgment. I see the kids on the basketball court. I judge them and I'm mad at them. Often we just think, oh, those damn kids at the basketball court. And we don't see that there was a part that happened before it, which was us noticing it. And I think that the further you can separate these two out from each other, the calmer you can be. You have control over one of the two of these. I'll let you figure out which one.
D.
Can you control what you hear, what you smell, what
Jay.
Right? You can control, or you can learn to, if you separate these out enough, you can start to get some. John Lacks, is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, so we notice that we're upset, and whether or not we get in, and it's going to start getting circular, but whether we judge ourselves for being upset, the discernment was, I'm upset. And then whether we judge ourselves for that harshly or not, that's up to us. Cool?
Yes.
Better than I would have said it. Thank you.
thank you, John. Rita, you look like you're poised to say something. And let me also say, sometimes I call on people using my old teacher spidey sense and go, look, it looks like they have something to say. And sometimes I'm wrong. So if you just were like scratching your cheek, just pass and we'll move along.
No, I was thinking the idea that not judging.
Yeah.
Something that you feel you don't like doesn't mean that you like it or that you want to be like it or that it's not something, if you can do something about it, you shouldn't. It just means, well, the whole thing about energy, I decided I'm not going to give that person power over me. Again, you can see where my mind is, but by thinking about what that person does, says, yeah. or does that decimates me, better just to accept that, all right, that's what that is. If I can do something, I will. And if I don't, I'll change the channel, more or less.
Go back to puppies.
You know, Rabbi Brian?
Yeah, go ahead, Barb.
I had this discussion with, I live in Colorado.
Okay.
So when Columbine happened, I don't know if you remember, the shooting at Columbine, and I had a very good friend and a spiritual mentor that we talked about this, and because I was so angry. Hannah was young at that point. I think she was 3 or 4. And the idea of discernment versus judgment came up, and what I had to kind of grapple with is the intersection, I guess, between being human, which includes judging, and faith, or your spiritual path, or what you believe beyond what we are right now. And that's kind of where I juggle it, you know, with if I believe all people are really good, and that the universe knows what it's doing, then the smallest thing can look so big, but I don't have the whole picture. That was kind of how I worked my way through this thing with Columbine.
Yeah. And I think it's also important for us to remember that a spiritual life is not devoid of judgments. We're not saying everything's equal. It's not.
No.
Right. Okay.
And in fact, it becomes a signpost in some ways, judgment, to alert me to what's going on with me that I'm judging this. I'm mad. I mean, at a crazy manner.
Okay. So it can give us, the more we find that we're judging, it might give us some insight into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give an example. My phone rings sometimes, and it's my brother-in-law. And I think, oh, it's Bob. Awesome. And sometimes the phone rings and Bob's number shows up and I think, what the hell is he bothering me for? There's nothing empirically different. It's the same phone. It's the same image of Bob shows up on my screen. But sometimes I find out I'm in a really bad mood because I'm already mad at Bob for calling. And I think we can do the same thing with judgment, is we can divorce ourselves a little bit from it and have a little bit of this metacognition of observing ourselves and think, well, look at that. I must be, I'm super, I got my judgy pants on today. Mm-hmm. All right, so here, I want y'all to look straight at the camera. Take your judgy pants off. No, don't. That not sounded now. Really weird and wrong. And I'd like to take that completely back.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi, isn't there a third place in there? When I hear judgment, it feels like you're trying to ascertain a moral absolute. It is absolutely wrong or absolutely right.
Okay.
And I kind of like to live a little bit away from that and just choose what I want and what I think is best and have some humility about maybe from a grand moral perspective, I don't necessarily know complete judging right or wrong, but I can say for me, this is what's appropriate and what I want and what I feel is reasonable.
Can I meet you here that maybe we can be judgmental without it having so much heat behind it?
I think we're saying the same thing.
Right? That I see those kids, and there are two different ways I can judge them. I can go, those goddamn kids on the basketball court, or I can go, I really don't like what they're doing. And I think maybe one is that moral indignation, and the other is just, this is wrong. And I could go over to them and say, guys, there's a pandemic going on.
Right.
Or I could go over and go, what the heck's wrong with you children? Ah.
Right. Or you could go, those lucky guys.
Those lucky guys, right. That would be nice. Carol, it looks like you got something.
It seems to me that there are some things where you don't have this moderated view. Whether it's Columbine or whether it's this whole idea of guns in elementary schools killing the teacher and the students, we've got to be able to have room for complete outrage and then the energy to say something's got to happen about gun laws because this must never happen again. I think that we have. Sure, it would be wonderful to be able to be serene, but I think the world is not a place where we can be serene because I think we're called upon to judge in certain areas because what's going on is dangerous and we have to see what we can do to protect the other people.
Right.
Mm. And I wasn't looking for serenity. I mean, I was enraged. I was trying to figure out.
I think that's appropriate.
Right, there's
yes, a. I don't disagree with that.
It's appropriate. You're a mother, and you have a child, and you see what's happening to these other children. You should be outraged. Right. Now, how do you use that energy? And the energy, I think, should go to trying to get better gun laws.
Right. I think we're all on the same. What do you do with it? Al, you raised your hand there. What do you got?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Thank
that
you, Carol.
In my experience, if I really want to completely suspend my judgment, I also have to do damage to my discernment. In other words, I have to stop seeing what's in front of me if I really want to be this total zen,
right,
not letting anything affect me. And I don't like doing that damage to myself.
Oh, interesting. Now, which judgment you're talking about, the moral outrage or just this is wrong and we have to change something?
I think both.
Both of them.
You know, if you want to say you don't have it, it's to some extent you're going to be.
Yeah. You're not going to be noticing as much. So,
like, I try and focus on my action instead of focusing on judging my own reaction. Like I don't have to. If I want to follow through and advocate for gun laws, I can, or I can not. That's a choice I have.
Mm.
But the outrage isn't necessarily a choice, in my opinion.
Is there a?
I'm going to take 2-3 more comments on this, and then I'd like to move us. Keep going, Rags.
I'm thinking there's a difference. I really flagged when Carol, I think it was, talked about the never again. I think never again is a really appropriate and important response to things like an awful lot of things we can think about. And then you go, then that puts you to a place of how do I help this never happen again, as opposed to outrage, which just goes, ah! No, the waving of hands isn't necessarily helpful to me or to anybody else.
Right,
I recognize that we as humanity have crossed a boundary that should not be crossed.
Yeah.
I think we can't let go of that. Whatever we decide we're trying to do, that's important.
I think of it maybe this way. We have a gallon of gasoline, and I can either light it on fire and have a really big boom right here, or I can slowly use that energy in the and get my car to go. Like there's a difference. It's the same amount of energy, but how am I using it? Bob? Go ahead. Yes. Thank you all for your patience. I love how everyone's like cooperating and taking turns like adults and doing this so well.
Right. So I think that there's a difference between the judgment of a person and a judgment of an action.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And that in giving some thoughts to the things that have been going on over the past week, I've looked at the big picture, and I've seen many people taking some actions that are in a positive direction and confronting the situation. And I've seen other people, and one person in particular, who seems to be like a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And that in that sense, I kind of feel sorry for the life experience of that person, and mm-hmm. that they have to revert to some actions that seem supportive of themselves. And that so that what my energy goes out in terms of instead of saying, okay, you're going to sit in the corner with a dunce cap on, that to feel sorrow and hope that that lessons will be learned for that person to have a better life.
I see.
And in a sense, prayers, in a sense, for making progress as a human race.
For the person. Hate the sin, love the sinner?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to shift gears a little bit. Thank you guys for this lovely discussion. We're going to go into breakout groups, and I'm going to ask you in your breakout group to answer the following question, or to on a quality of mine I like. Okay, no, the mine isn't me. It's you. So I want you to think of you. Something that you like about yourself. And you might want to make a note of it. And maybe write down two things or three things, because we're going to break into small groups. And this is how I want to do the small groups today. I want you in the small groups to alphabetically, by however your Zoom name is, that whoever's first is going to say, a quality of mine that I like is, and they're going to fill it in. And then the next person alphabetically is going to do the same thing. They're going to say, quality of mine that I like is, and they're going to fill it in. Third person, I think you understand there's a pattern here. Third person is going to do the same thing. A quality of mine that I like is. And we're just going to keep going around. And once you've done all the people in your group, it's time for round two, which is another quality of mine that I like is. Any questions about the format? All right, here we go. We're going to go to breakout rooms. Da, da, da. Good luck, folks. See you in the breakout rooms. And that gives me a chance to say hi to Jason and Melissa, who put a comment up on YouTube. Thank you so much for watching through YouTube. That's exciting. And I saw your comment says that you can only see 2 to 3 words at a time. I will look into that, see what's going on with the YouTube link. And Marilyn also commented on YouTube, which is so cool that that's functioning. You mentioned the word upset. I am upset because I'm awake. I was awake all night and Zoom won't load but up till 8 a.m. That's reason to be upset. I'm sorry to hear all that. And I see I have an iPhone who has just joined the meeting. And hello, person on iPhone. Weird. Hello, iPhone. We are in small groups right now, so I don't know who this is on the iPhone. We're going to go back to our main group in a moment. I'm going to close all the small groups. I think we should probably give them another minute. Oh, and then we're going to do that. That's going to be really fun. You want to know what we're doing next? We're drawing pictures of spoons. And I never got to cathect. Maybe we'll do cathect first. But I think we should do something more physical first. All right, I'm going to close up our rooms, see how that went.
Help.
Hi, Rita. Rita, I think you have your green screen. What happened, hon?
Oh, I pressed leave instead. I left my breakout room too soon.
Do you have a green screen setting set? Because your shirt seems to disappear.
Oh, that could well be.
It's kind of fun. And here people come back. Hi, welcome back, Carol.
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Thank you, Rita. Yeah, now you're no longer, it looked like you were in a hologram.
That Zoom is like being in a hologram.
It's amazing what we have.
But I left my group. I'm sorry about
They're
that.
All coming back.
Yeah.
Here they are.
That was great, FYI.
That was great.
Oh, good. You guys know that there's no real, there's no, like, I make this stuff up, and I don't know how it's going to go. So I thank all of you for participating. Give me some feedback. What happened there? What'd you learn? What'd you like? And hi to Aviva and Rose, who I see just joined us. So hi, welcome, guys. Give me some feedback from a quality of mine I like about myself. What'd you get?
Willingness to change, learn and change.
You have a willingness to learn and change. That's fantastic. Good, Emily. Other people?
Curious.
Curious, yes indeed, Sherry. And I just saw someone's hand. Candace.
This has nothing to do with qualities, but one of our groups left and the pop-up came up saying there was still a whole minute left. So
that would be
tell people, oh.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the other thing. When I wrote this down, qualities that of a quality of mine that I like, I have no way of knowing how long that exercise should get. So I appreciate you all being flexible. If it was too short or if it was too long,
it was just right.
Well, that was some sheer luck. I'll tell you that. Other reactions from that exercise before, because I need you to have pencil and paper. We're going to do something a little bit different now.
I have a question.
Yes.
I had trouble thinking of a quality other than intellect, my intellect. I'm glad I have one.
Carol Ann Clausen-Williams, you're going to make me tell you things I like about you? Because I'll do it right here in front of the whole group. Yes, Carol Ann Clausen Williams, besides your intellect, honey.
Oh, I mean, do you like my intellect?
Oh, yeah, but it gets you in the way sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Carol?
Judgment.
Yeah, okay. Carol, you want to tell us one other quality of yours you like besides your intellect?
Yeah, I'm a good listener.
You're a good listener. You know what else you are? And one of my favorite things about you? You're ridiculously honest.
Oh, yes.
As a quality of yours that I like. So
I'll write that down.
Yeah.
I don't know it now or I won't remember it.
You can always ask me. Here's something that we do in my household. I think a lot of you know this. Maybe some of you don't. But every Friday night, we do... I make a Holland, well, not every Friday night, but almost every Friday night we do this, is every Friday night I look at the people I am having dinner with. And before we start chowing all the way down, I say, I'm going to tell you guys what you mean to me. And I tell everyone who I'm eating with three things who they are to me, three things that I like about them. And my kids now do the same thing, and they'll say things back, and they'll say, they'll go around the table, say things they like about each other, or they'll change the question. I really recommend this little exercise on, you don't have to do it Friday nights, but just to remember that we are all these wonderful things too, and to get feedback from other people, I think is so important.
Brad, what?
Yes,
that
Jeff.
That might be a good thing to do at our Zoom Thanksgivings.
Oh.
Oh. I just had the same thought. That was a great, yep.
I love that. So at your Zoom Thanksgivings, what do you say? You tell everybody who you're with one thing you're thankful for about them. Two, three.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right, everyone, paper and pencils, please. This is like a quiz. It's not really a quiz. Here's how it goes. First of all, we all have to draw a picture of a spoon. If you've never drawn a picture of a spoon, I'll show you how it goes. I looked up a tutorial. First thing you want to do is you want to draw a handle, and the key is at the end you get a little bit of a dip down. Step number two in how to draw a spoon is you're going to draw the bowl. I don't know that we really need instructions on how to draw a spoon, but what the heck.
Oh, I see. Now I see the perspective.
Now you're going to take your same pen and give it a little bit of depth by going along the bottom. This is going somewhere. We're not just doing this because we're drawing spoons. Then, two more steps. You're going to... Oh, I'm sorry. One more step. You're going to draw in the shading. And this is the part I do the worst. You're going to kind of shade it in there. Doesn't matter. Sure, that looks like a spoon.
Maybe.
I'm going for it. There's my spoon.
Mine does not look like a spoon.
Here's what you can always do. And this is cheating in the art world, but I'm allowing it.
Oh, label it.
Thought it looked like a toilet seat with a handle.
Okay, so maybe you need to write what it is. And here's...
Renee Magritte would write, "This is not a spoon."
Yes, 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 yes. This is Magritte, but not. So here's the quote that goes along with this.
It's only half up.
I'll get you the second half. Give me a moment. If you dislike someone, the way they hold their spoon will offend you.
That's right.
But if you liked them, they could drop a plate of food in your lap and you wouldn't mind. Let me try that again. If you dislike someone, the way they hold their spoon will offend you. Oh, look at her. She got that haircut. What a stupid haircut. Oh, look at him. Can't believe he's driving that. Of course he's driving that kind of car. If you dislike someone, everything they do is going to annoy you. On the other hand, if you like someone, they could drop a plate in your food and you'd not mind. I can't believe they didn't RSVP to our Thanksgiving dinner. Or, oh, I'm sure she had so much going on and she didn't RSVP to our Thanksgiving dinner. If you dislike someone, the way they hold their spoon will offend you. But if you like them, they could drop a plate of food in your lap and you'd not mind. What are we going to do with this quote, folks? Okay, first, can you all just do me a small favor? Because would you hold your pictures of spoons up to the window?
I had two attempts at it. It wasn't good yet.
Okay. Yeah, look at that. I see some of them look more phallic than others, which is fine. Okay, thank you all for those pictures. I really appreciate it. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm going to make this a meta exercise here for a second. How many of you liked your drawings? And how many of you did not like your drawings? And of those of you who did not like your drawings, how many of you were a little less than kind to yourself about your drawing? Right? You can finish the rest of the sermon on that one. It's your drawing. If my daughter gave you a picture of a spoon, what would you say to her?
Thank you.
Aww, that's the best
spoon
I've ever
seen.
Oh, that's good.
Right. And then my question always to adults is, what's different about you?
Good job, Carol.
And the answer I often get from people is, well, I'm older, I should know better. Or I'm. This is just how the world is. And I think, well, if that's just how the world is, all the more reason we need to be kind to ourselves. Okay. Without looking at the quote, can somebody tell me what the quote was? Give yourself a little memory test. Sink it in there.
That's dangerous.
Go ahead, Betsy.
Okay, if you like somebody the way they hold... No, if you dislike somebody, the way they hold their spoon will offend you. And if you like someone, they can drop a plate full of food in your lap and you won't mind. And I was just thinking about the way that we see the political people we like and dislike and the messages that we get about them. I mean, they can tell us that this one person, you know, the way they comb their hair is offensive. And haven't you heard that message?
Yeah, right.
And if you like someone... Then you know, any little insufficiencies, you know, they're not the best speaker in the world or something, they're honest. They make up for it in a thousand ways.
Right. Someone else give me another example that you know of besides comb-overs. You got another one in your mind that you can think of where you have more than one set of laws, rules. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one.
Do it.
Bye. We often have people in Colorado that pass on a solid yellow line when you're driving. And I had to drive to my office and back, and it would be very upsetting to me. And I got a quote from somebody, I don't remember the quote, but it talked about maybe that person's running to the ER because their loved one is in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would switch the context of how I wanted to scream and shout about it and go, well, I don't know, maybe they're in a hurry because there's a reason.
Yeah.
And the way I would put that is, if they pass me on the solid yellow line, go ahead, they're the ones that'll get the speeding ticket.
well put, Lee. Well put.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Different question, because I think we've exhausted that one, which is fine. Oh, I'm gonna do a little. Folks, if any of you would care to, I just sent most of you emails, and you got an email about this. I am running spiritual exercise classes in the light of a pandemic, and the fact that you can't do a lot of fun things with your friends. Jane and her friends tried doing a online escape room.
Oh, wow.
Which is creative. So if you have a group of people who you want to run a small party for, how about you have this guy come out and we do some spiritual exercises? I promise not to dress like Richard Simmons, but I love that image very much. I had some other... next question. How anything that anyone has on their heart or anything that they got that they need a group to share with, because sometimes there's a power in a group, and there's sometimes you need to share with a whole group. I don't know, you lost a beloved, or you're really working on something, or you're really proud of something. Is there anyone, you have something you want to share with this semi-anonymous video group? Something on your heart?
I'm having to move house when I don't want to because I can't drive anymore.
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I'm sorry, Joy.
Yeah. Thank you for telling us, Joy.
You guys posted about how it goes.
Yeah.
So we can keep supporting you. We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
How about, Joy, when you get your new address, you can give us the post, and we can all write you a note so that when you when you're at your new place, you can have something to look forward to there.
I think it's going to be fairly close in the next 3 to 4 weeks now.
Okay. Well, keep us informed.
It's in the solicitor's hands at the moment because I've helped selling this house to buy the other flat.
Yeah. Mm. Getting older is rough.
Yes, and I've been 34 years here.
Wow.
Aww.
Wow. Thank you for sharing.
I'm telling people I'm in my 8th childhood.
You are in your... Oh, there was an image I wanted to share that was along that. Anyone else have things that they wanted to share on this... with this group?
Getting older is better than the alternative.
For a lot of people, it is indeed.
I would like to ask for help and energy offerings for healthcare people because my daughter's a doctor and she has to be in the middle of it because that's what she does for a living.
Yeah.
And she said for the very first time in her medical career, she understands what happened in New York and she's really worried that it's going to happen in other places in the country.
Yeah. Let's all do our part to stay safe, wash hands, not go out more than we need to.
Wear a mask, please. Yeah.
Excellent. Other things that are group here at this.
I'd like to ask for energy or help or some wisdom or something to be sent to people who have children. There was a little girl in Greenville who was removed from her mother's hair because the mother ripped her toenails and fingernails off.
Oh!
Drugging.
Oh, don't.
And this is happening to kids all over this country.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Terrible. Thank you.
I'm very distressed. Very.
It is very distressing.
Brian, this is your...
Hi, Priscilla. Cousin. I know you.
Hi, your second cousin, Lisa, and her husband, who are dealing with his mother in home hospice.
Yeah.
And they have not been in their own home since last spring. And they are very much homebodies. And there's so little that anybody can do to help them because of the pandemic. I mean, I would love to go and help. I can't.
Yeah.
Her sister, Amy, your second cousin, lives very close and does... go down and take them treats every once in a while, but they have a very difficult and lonely, I think that's the word I'm looking for, a lonely existence.
Yeah. Well, I can put it this way, we're keeping our hearts all those who are lonely, all those who need some companionship and extra love.
So everybody should listen to John Prine's Hello in There.
Say that again, Jonathan.
Everyone with these thoughts take a listen to John Prine's song Hello in There and keep it in mind because everybody is sort of isolated and lonely right now.
Okay. Yeah. If you can find a link to that and put it in the chat, John, I'm sure people would love to know what that song is. Okay. So let me see what else I have. Other celebrations? Anyone celebrating anything exciting?
The election.
Alma, what do you have?
She celebrated her birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Alma. We'd sing, but that never works on Zoom.
Oh. Very incredible. I was 80 yesterday.
You.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Well,
I was going, my family had decided right at the beginning of the year that we were going to have a proper party in a hall, and all my friends were being invited, and people from South, friends from South as well. And of course, COVID came along. And so there, all the family were disappointed that it wasn't going on. Actually, I wasn't. But I ended up having a fantastic day yesterday. Because I started off in the morning looking after my 2-year-old grandson, which was a delight. Had lunch with my other daughter. Came home intending to do loads of things and had loads of visitors and masses of phone calls and lots of presents left. And then went up and had a party with 6 people, all of us. We're only allowed 6 in the house. And we had 6 people sitting down at the table for dinner.
Well, happy birthday, Alma. That's fantastic.
I'm going to be 80 next year.
Again. Okay.
So good.
So let me ask this as our time is rounding up. What is one thing that came up today in this, the Saturday service? What is one thing that came up for you today in this gathering that you're going to take with you? A little moral of the story, a little, what is it that you're going to take with you today from our time together? Okay, let me start with an easier question if I don't have an answer to that one.
My spoon.
You're going to take your spoon with you. What kind of learning did... What aha, what open, what thing did you think, well, I got to remember, I have to do this the rest of the week?
Yeah, I wish I'd had a teacher who put up a discernment and a judgment poster. That I wish I'd learned that much earlier in life. And it's a good reminder for now.
I'm thank you, John. I'm gonna take with me the fork in the road that Kip pointed out, that judgment goes two different ways, and that we can, there's judgment and then there's judgment. And I had never thought of that before. So I'm taking that with me. Al, you have something? You're high lit there. I don't know if you had something you meant to say.
I just wanted to say that self compassion, just taking good care of myself.
Amen.
I get that every time a little bit, but especially today.
Amen. What else do you get, guys? What else came up today?
I'm going to take my judgy pants off, but I might be arrested for indecent exposure.
Okay. Thank you, Lee, for taking your judgy pants off.
You're welcome.
Other things we got?
Should treat ourselves more like the 8-year-old that drew the picture.
Right. Mm-hmm. To treat ourselves a little softer and kinder. And what would happen if we treated ourselves as though we really liked ourselves, and we would forgive ourselves even for dropping a plate of kale on the floor? Well, it wasn't a plate, but I dropped a whole frozen bag of kale on the floor this morning. But what if we're kind to ourselves even in those moments? All right. And I'll take two more things that got learned.
That we can like ourselves.
That we can like ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's a radical idea, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because the world seems to conspire sometimes to tell us we're not enough. And let's be countercultural and actually believe that we are enough. That we're okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds revolutionary. So I heard somebody was trying to say something. No? Oh, good. Okay. We will next week. I'll give you a preview of next week because I was ready for you. We're going to use the word cathect.
Oh. Yeah.
So that gives you reason to come back next week. Thank you again to all those who have helped. Thank you guys for all coming today. Alex, am I missing anything?
I think we were going to talk just briefly about James.
Oh, right. Thank you. So if James, our friend James in prison, has written a book called Right Our Wrongs. It's letters to victims and poems and short stories. And the proceeds from this book are to help pay restitutions to all of the gentlemen inside who had made offenses against others. James is looking for, he asked us what celebrities we could get in touch with to promote his book. So if you have anybody in mind, if you could shoot me or Alex an email, that would be wonderful, because we would like to try to help James with this wonderful work at atonement and restitution. So if you have somebody, you can please email me or Alex. Yes, Ruth, I see your hand.
Rabbi, James sent me the flyer. I have the book, but on the right-hand corner of the flyer, it says the book costs like $86.
No.
$20. $20.
Yeah.
So please, if you're in touch with James, ask him to make a correction on that.
Thank you for telling us, Ruth. Appreciate that.
How do you get the book?
I will send out a link in my Monday newsletter. How's that?
Thank you.
All right. It is now 9:00. I'm going to sign off. I'm going to put Alex in charge of hosting. And anyone who wants to stick around for virtual donut holes, please do. And let me please implore those of you who stick around. There's a whole cadre of you who know each other really well. And I heard some really wonderful things on how you invited and interacted with people who had never stayed after the service before. So thank you for doing that. I think that's wonderful. Anyone who wants to stick around for virtual coffee hour, virtual donut hole time, Alex is going to be running that. Otherwise, I'll see everyone next week. Thank you so much for being here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. All yours, Alex.